You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to our show tonight on LA Talk Radio, talking about your ultimate life. Today, I'm going to talk about 10 words and talk about how these words are absent or their meanings are absent and why that matters to you right here, right now. Like, we go about our lives every day. You get up, I get up, you got a list of stuff to do, grocery store, go to work, make some money, worry about this problem, solve that problem. I have that too, and so do you. But at the same time, it's so important not to let the things that happen, the little things that are all over the place, and they're going to be all over the place every day, sort of get in the way of having a larger effect, a larger purpose, a larger goal in your life. And when we do that, and we've all done it, let the little things get in the way. When we do that, it's easy to get lost and lose meaning to our lives. And so one of the things I encourage in this whole ultimate life thing, where I talk about creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, is what the heck does that even mean? Well, you know, I had a chance to talk to somebody today, a couple of conversations today, and one of them was a fellow in South Africa. And I think he was born in Germany and had lived in Germany and Italy and then some other places. And now he had visited South Africa and he really loved it. So he went back there to stay, and there's where he is. And we talked about purpose, life purpose. Now, he has a story of his life, and he's had typical ups and downs. But you know what? The struggles of his life, the difficulties, have led him to a place where his focus is on helping people, you, me, everyone he can, to realize that we are not victims of our circumstance and that we have the ability to take control. And I thought, wow, you know, all of the things I asked him when we jumped on the Zoom, I said, tell me about your business and your life and why you do this, that, and the other. And he did. And then I said, okay, good. Now tell me about your heart. Tell me, what is it about your heart that makes you want to do this work? Because you've discovered these things and you're using them in your own life. But why is it so important to you to share them, to lift, to bless, to serve, to encourage? And, you know, I knew what he was going to say because of the same things I say. And here's the conclusion we came to. There's something about our makeup as divine beings having a human experience that when we learn something important, something valuable, we want to share it. We have a yearning to give back and to share. It's funny. It's built into us physiologically. Like, we get good hormones, neurotransmitters that are exciting and fun, oxytocin and dopamine, when we're involved in doing something good. So anyway, we talked about that for a while, and it was a lot of fun. And it made me, once again, recommit to my goals. I want you to think about what your goals are for the rest of this year. Like, it's May already, so there's what, 8 months left, 7.5? What are you going to give yourself for Christmas or for New Year's? Like, what will be different? Because if you go through the rest of this year, same old, it's all the same, kind of doing whatever, then that's where you're going to be next year at this time. And the year after that, and the year after that. And maybe you'll be moved to a different house, and maybe you'll have some more money, or maybe you'll have less money, or maybe somebody will be sick. But there won't be this internal drive that feels good about your life. What's missing? Why not? Why not? So before I jump into the 10 words, I want to issue my standard invitations. Number one, if you haven't gone to www.yourultimatelife.ca, please do. There's some free stuff there that will help you create a life of purpose, prosperity, which includes cash, and joy, where you're excited about your life every day. I live that way, and it certainly wasn't that way for most of my life. But for the last 15 years, I've been living at the top of the mountain, emotionally, spiritually, physically, you know, prosperity and all of it. And it didn't happen by accident because nobody ever fell up a mountain. Now, today I'm using this weird background. I've been using it all day, and it's a phoenix, and it's mostly fire and everything. But if you're listening, watching the video, you can see it's a phoenix. And the fellow that I talked to asked me about the phoenix. He said, well, he asked me what it is. And I said, phoenix. And he said, well, why? And so I told him some of the stories about what had happened to me 16 years ago that made me change my life and start over again. and led me on a path to where we are today, having this conversation. And so I want you to think about this. It's never the wrong time to grow. It's never the wrong time to make more out of yourself. It's never the wrong time to make more money. It's never the wrong time to have better prosperity. It's never the wrong time to love yourself more. It's never the wrong time to connect more deeply with those around you. It's never the wrong time to serve. It's never the wrong time to simply say, I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday, even if it's only 1%. So I want you to think about that. That's the first invitation. Go get this free stuff. And if you don't, I don't know why not. It's free and it's powerful. The second invitation is I love meeting people, just like the fellow, both of the folks that I talked to today. And I've invited them to consider being a guest, and they may come and be a guest here on the show, and you'll see them one of these days. I have a guest coming next week I'm really, really excited about. He's also someone in the people encouragement business, coaching like I am, and he has a really powerful message and a really powerful goal. I mean, it's humongous. And that's why I invited him to come on, is because his goal is powerful and important, and I want to help him get there. And so that's one thing I could do right away. But anyway, the point of people with big goals is that you and I and everyone has the desire to serve. We also have the desire to have enough money and to have fun and to be happy and all that. And that's all possible. It's possible. So the second invitation is, if you think you have a message and you would like to share that, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Let's talk and see, because maybe I can have you come with me and share your message here. I love to do that. And a guy next week is going to be a perfect example. And the third invitation is this. If you are struggling, where you think the world is against you, you're never going to make it, you're not good enough, please reach out and let's talk. I know what that feels like. I lived there for decades, sabotaging success and making a mess out of my life. The end of 2007, some things happened that we won't tell the story today, but that changed me completely. I now live in a place of love and service where I help you right now. And my goal this year is 250 million people. So those are the three invitations. Let's start with our 10 words. The first word is one you're going to roll your eyes and you're going to say, oh, overused doesn't mean anything. And you know what? You're right. The first word is authenticity. Oh, what an awful word, except it's a beautiful word. What does it even mean? Well, what does it mean? Like, does it mean, is it a meaningless thing because we use it too much? I'll tell you what it is. It's a clarion call, a loud invitation for you and I to be truthful and open with each other. One of the highest compliments paid to me was not even intended particularly as a compliment, but I took it that way. I was at an event and I was speaking at the event, and during one of the breaks, someone came up to me, and I've always been pretty active on social. I put, you know, this is streaming to YouTube and Facebook, and I put lots of other stuff up there too. And so he'd seen a bunch of my videos, and this was probably 8 or 9 years ago, and I've been active for a long time on social just because I want to spread the message that I have of possibility, hope, and growth. And divinity, capability, possibility. I mean, there's lots of ways to describe that. Anyway, he came up to me and he put his hand in front of his face. And I realized it meant like he was looking at a video of me, and then he moved it and he went like this. Same dude. And he was trying in a funny and sincere way to tell me that his experience of me in person was exactly the same as it was when he saw me doing whatever it is, and I don't even know what he saw. But that felt really good for me, because there's a whole lot of my life that I lived not in authenticity. I was not authentic at all. I pretended to be one thing, and I was another thing. Obviously, when you're a drug addict like I was for some years, you hide it, right? And so I was not authentic at all. The persona that I projected in public was completely different than who I really was. And of course, I lived in terror that someone would find out and I would be revealed and, you know, shot down or more, worse, you know, get arrested or do some other things. So authenticity is something I want you to invite you to think about. It means you are true all the way through, right? How you talk and how you act are the same. What you do in private is the same as what you do in public or what you espouse or support in public. In other words, your private self and your public self are consistent with each other. Now, you might think that that's difficult or impossible to achieve, and it's not. I used to believe it was impossible because I was a poster child for not being authentic. And my public persona and my private persona were wildly different. And I believed when I first heard the word that it was just sort of a buzzword that we say, you know, it's a good idea, float around, but you can't really do that. That's not true. You can be authentic where you are a consistent person and you live the same in private and in public. And what people see, WYSIWYG in computers, what you see is what you get. So that's the first word, and it's talked about a lot. It's talked about in marketing, it's talked about in relationships, and it's talked about in business, you know, all kinds of ways it's discussed, and it is most noticeable by its absence. People have ulterior motives, and they're hiding stuff. So what it does is it trashes relationships, and you know the worst one? It trashes your relationship with yourself. Because you know that you're not authentic. You know that how you're acting and the persona you're projecting is not true. And that battle inside, that conflict, right? That's terrifying. It's bad. And it makes you not love yourself. It makes you unable to do your best work. It impedes your creativity. It gets in the way of making money. And I realize people cheat, lie, steal, and do all that other stuff. I'm not stupid, and I know that. But you don't need to. You can live authentically, private and public life the same. So that's the first word, and I want you to think about it. And I challenge you to take a look at yourself and pick one area where authenticity, you know right now, immediately, you're not authentic in that way, and challenge it. Change it. What I can tell you from my own experience is the burden that's off your shoulders is unbelievable. The second word I want to talk about today is integrity. Now, for me, that was such a big deal that I wrote a big, long piece of a declaration in my PTAC, which is a personal truth and commitment document. And that's another thing I talked with about that fellow in South Africa. He talked about everything that had happened to him and all the work that he was doing on himself to be a powerful, authentic, clear, open, transparent, all that kind of good stuff. And I talked to him about documents and he said, oh, I have one. And we talked about it for a minute. And then I talked about having a document that was so powerful that it connected right to your soul. And, you know, what I told him is if your document doesn't make you weep every time you say it powerfully to yourself, then throw it away and start over. Because if you're going to make a declaration about who you are and acknowledge the truth of your divinity and declare from the center of your soul and it's a contract with God, and it's not something you run around sharing, but I'm going to share one little line from it here because this integrity piece is so important to me. How I phrased it for me as I started working on myself, creating this ultimate life stuff, is I said, I am my word. I speak only truth. I do what I say. I am who I seem with no camouflage, duplicity, or guile. Now, I needed all those extra words. I could have just said, oh, I tell the truth. But that wasn't enough for me because I had lived so long shading, hiding, you know, in ways that were not consistent with that. And so I wanted to cover for my own growth purposes every possibility. Now, it being in integrity or being integrity means that you say only true things, that you don't parse. I mean, the legal profession is notable for that. I saw someone taking apart this trial that's going on right now. Something about, I don't even know, some affidavits were signed, and I think it's a former President Trump something or other. But anyway, they were talking about denial. I didn't do this or I did that. And then they were parsing words. Well, if you say it this way, and then the news commentator looked in the camera and said, see, this is what people hate about lawyers. None of that is integrity. All of that is twisting words so you can pretend you meant something else when integrity would dictate you meant what it sounds like you meant. And that's why I put those words in there. No camouflage, no camo. I am who I seem, right? I needed that to remind myself. So my invitation to you with regard to the word integrity, if you want to live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, examine your integrity. Is every word that comes out of your mouth true? Do you gossip? Do you tell stories? Do you exaggerate? Do you lie? Do you hide? Do you leave things out? Do you confuse the situation to avoid blame? I'm not saying, you know, you do whatever you want, but all those things means you or I, if we do those, we're not in integrity. We're not in integrity. Integrity means what it seems like it is. What we say is true. What we seem to mean is what we mean. We don't twist it around in some ways. And that was a huge one for me to get to from not liking myself to loving myself and living this ultimate life. The third word is transparency. Now, this is funny for me. The word transparency is deadly serious. It's not funny at all. But every governor's race and every presidential race that I have been privy to or paid attention to in my entire life, I was born in California. I grew up with, you know, in that state till. And I was involved, and I wasn't involved in politics, but I was aware of elections there. I lived in Arizona for a while. I lived in Idaho for a while. And then I was back in California. And then I've been in Canada for a number of years. Every political race, here's what they talk about. Well, we're going to have a more transparent process. We're going to increase our transparency. No more backroom deals. No more hidden stuff where people can't tell what's going on. And everybody, you know what? When we hear that, what do? You roll your eyes, right? Yeah, right. This is going to be the same old crap. You're just going to be hiding different stuff and pointing fingers at the last group. That's what's happened in the U.S. with the last couple, three elections, is everybody's blaming everybody else. And maybe it's been that way forever. I'm just really focused, I guess, because every piece of news now is about this upcoming election in the U.S. And like I said, I live in Canada, but sure is horrifying, frankly, to watch from another country to see what's going on and how little transparency there is. Like I pull up the news and every fourth article is one side accusing the other side of cheating in some way and doing something to hide the truth about votes, about registration, about laws, about this, about that. And it makes regular people, even people like you and me, who are trying to do good and add good to the world, so frustrating. It's like you just have no idea what to trust. So the only thing you and I can do about it is be transparent. So what does that mean specifically? That means when I talk to my beloved angel wife, Joy, I'm clear about what I mean. I'm not trying to do anything that isn't transparent. When I deal with my clients as a coach, I'm completely transparent about what I'm trying to do. When I talk to prospects, this is, you know, about possible coaching and, you know, ooh, clients and money and all that. I make sure everything is completely transparent. This is what we're talking about. This is what it would look like so that it's clear and there are no hidden things and no surprises. In my business as a coach, that's particularly important because the relationship is 100% based on trust. And if things aren't transparent, then of course there's no trust. Okay, the fourth word I want to talk about is one that, another one. Every one of these is really important for me. But this is another one that I struggled with mightily, and that was duplicity. Duplicity is like two-face, right? You have one face here and another face that means and looks and is being some way. And, you know, and duplicity has something to do with integrity and it has something to do with transparency. But duplicity is really painful. Think of this. Think of someone in a relationship and one spouse is cheating on the other or thinking about it or lying about where they are. In other words, they're pretending something is happening. They're pretending to still be okay. They're pretending to value the other person or the relationship, and they're not. There is duplicity there. Now, you can have that in business dealings. You can have it in personal relationships. You can have it in family relationships. You can have it with your neighbor. Duplicity is where you act one way and you advocate and promise this. And at the very same time, you are literally divided because you know the minute you turn around, you're going to deny all that and do something completely different. That's terrifyingly bad. And that right there was one of the terrible things that became a habit for me when I had all kinds of struggles with addictions and depression and so forth, because I couldn't bear the thought of people knowing what was going on in my life. I couldn't bear the thought, and this is sad, but I want you to hear this. I couldn't bear the thought that people were going to think badly about me. Now, I have a name for that. It's a disease, and I created a disease, right? No, it's not COVID, but I created a disease at the beginning of the pandemic, and I didn't really create a disease. I created a name. And at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, when we were following, you know, infection rates and how many people were dying in what countries and that sort of thing, I created the name WITOT, W-I-T-O-T, W-I-T-O-T, and it's an acronym, and it stands for What I Think Others Think. In other words, it is spending a lot of time worrying about others' opinions. I was so panicked about what people would think about me, what they would think about who I was. And if it was all negative, they'd hate me. They'd think I was, you know, long list of bad things if they knew the truth. And so I honed a wildly good skill at being duplicitous, pretending to be one thing and doing another. The consequences of that was that I hated myself. I didn't like to be alone with myself. It affected my job. It affected my relationships. It affected my self-esteem, my ability to perform, and it affected every area of my life. Now, mine might have been kind of extreme because of all the stuff that was going on in my life. Just a minute. But I want to invite you to consider this. Where is duplicity showing up in your life? Where you say or intimate or promise one thing and you don't intend to do it. I'm not talking about, well, I tried, I really meant it, and I didn't do it. That's a different problem. But where you didn't mean it, you said something without meaning it. The danger of that in terms of creating your ultimate life, which is this is about, is you are, in fact, a liar, a cheat, a crook. And at the same time, you're pretending things like, it's not so bad. It's for their own good. I don't really want to hurt their feelings. And you're pretending a lot of things that aren't true. What I found is that eats away at your self-esteem. It eats away at your soul. And pretty soon, you don't think much of yourself. You might get really good at fooling people. You might get really good at pretending. But I can tell you that you won't love yourself much. And from that place, it's really difficult to create your ultimate life. It's really difficult to have a life purpose and enjoy every day. Instead, there's fear in many transactions, conversations. What did I say? What do they know? And on and on. So duplicity is a real big one for me. The fifth word I want to talk about is actually two words. And we're moving away from character traits for a minute. This has to do with business, making money, and how we go about business. There was someone I talked to the other day, and I say that a lot because I talk to many new people every week, and I do it on purpose, part of networking and part of running a, a business where you, you know, find clients and engage with people. He said something really interesting to me that I really enjoyed, and I want to share it with you. He called business, the act of business, where we do business with each other, he called it sacred exchange. Sacred exchange. Now, I read a book that I have around here, but I don't have it handy, called Sacred Commerce. And it was written by a couple of university professors who were talking about the idea that any exchange of goods and services is really a sacred transaction, sacred commerce. And it has nothing to do with spirituality, except it does, nothing to do with religion per se. But it has to do with our attitude about doing business. Now, I don't care what your business is. I don't care if you're an employee or if you are a clothing designer or if you're an accountant or if you're a coach like I am or if you're a musician or whatever. It doesn't really matter what your business is. Every business has to have customers. Every customer involves you selling something and them buying it, them providing you some money, and you providing them a good or a service. And when you're the client, you go into a store of some kind, online or in person, you pay money and you get a good or service. If we think of it as simply transactional, okay, you have something I need, here's some money, give me that thing. You can have that kind of exchange. I want to suggest there's something more available, something available to you that's more powerful, more fulfilling, and more meaningful. And that is this idea of sacred exchange. So, for example, I have coaching clients. I could, and I know coaches, and it doesn't lead to big success, but I know coaches who go to their coaching sessions to serve clients, and they're not fully prepared. What do I mean by fully prepared? Well, they haven't cleaned out all the clutter in their own heart and mind. Maybe something happened and they, you know, there's other stuff going on. So that makes their attention divided. Well, as a coach, if I'm going to be the best for you, I have to be here 100%. I have to be here all the way for you. And if I'm split, my attention's over here, or I'm thinking about something that just happened or something coming up, I'm not there. And so our exchange is only partial. We've only had partial exchange because you paid a certain amount of money to have these coaching sessions. And I'm not all the way here to give you the best that I can. Now, in that case, it's really obvious. Think about if you went to the doctor. So you go to the doctor and he's busy thinking about a fight he had with his one of his kids or something. And so he's not all the way there for you to diagnose and treat and solve the problem you came in for. Is that who you want to see? Is that the kind of exchange you'd like to have? Whether you're paying with insurance or paying with cash, doesn't really matter because you're not getting the real exchange that you're bargaining for. If you go to Home Depot and buy bolts for a project you're building, it's a little bit more difficult to see. But not really. I'll give you another example of that. I buy a lot of stuff. I have a recording studio, and so it's over there in another part of the basement here. And I buy cables and hard drives and software and everything all the time. Now, we all like good deals. We all like getting a good price and that sort of thing. But often when I buy electronics, the lowest price, you get them and they don't work, or they work for a little while and then they don't work, or they break easily, or they're flimsy, or whatever. I'll give you an example. I bought a couple of extension cables for a camera that I wanted to use, a webcam, and they looked really sturdy. They were sturdy built, but the throughput wasn't good. The chip wasn't good. And so when I plugged in the webcam, the picture was all yucky. So I had to send them back. So the sacred exchange piece is you and me choosing, because we can't control anyone else, to be fully attentive to everything we offer in exchange. We treat it in a sacred way. Now, I can't control what you do, but I can tell you that my experience, when I determine that I am going to be party to a sacred exchange if we do business, and that means I'm treating you the very best that I can, I'm giving you the very best that I can, and I'm completely transparent and open about what's going on, then I live in this ultimate life place. I live full of joy, and I'm up, and everything is clear and open, and right? And so I can't control someone else's side of a sacred exchange, but I can control mine. And that means I live, or you, and I'm inviting you to do this, in complete joy all the time. I did what I needed to do, and I did it the best I could. So I would invite you to treat your business transactions as a sacred exchange on your side. Now, the next word I want to talk about is a mindset word, and it really applies to how you view your life. This word is scarcity. Scarcity is a scary word, and it comes from the idea that life is a zero-sum game. If you win, I lose. If you make more money, I have to make less. If you are more important, I have to be less important. Like, somebody has to lose for anyone to win. That is limiting thinking. Let me give you some scientific examples. All wealth on the earth, I don't care what anybody has, how many billions, comes from the energy of the sun, right? And you might think, well, that's crazy, but think about it. Everything that grows comes because the sun shines. Because the sun shines, there's food, there's development of us and animals and everything. And because of that, we can think, we can go to school, we can study, we can create, we can write computer programs, we can create reading glasses, we can create iPhones, and all the rest. And so the foundation of all of that is simply the abundance of energy that comes every day, all day long, day after day. You could say the same thing about the water cycle and the food and everything. And my point in saying that is this: there is an infinite amount of energy available to any individual in the world. That's a fact. We don't use it very well. You know, I could go and plant all the yard that I have and grow food. I don't, but I could. My point in that is scarcity is a myth. The idea that I have to lose if you win or you have to lose if I win is just not true. It's part of the idea that we have that in order to be okay, it's not really okay to just be okay. We have to be better than someone else. Right? I have to be above you in order to feel good, or you have to be above me in order to feel good. The idea of above and below is poison. It is a poison thing in creating your ultimate life, life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. The idea of scarcity is a zero-sum game. You have more, I have less, because it all adds up to the same. The truth is the pie is infinite. There's no limit to what you can create. There's no limit to the wealth you could create. Maybe you don't know how right this minute. Maybe you're not on that path. I understand that. But that lack of knowledge or lack of action on your part or mine doesn't limit what's available. It doesn't limit what's possible. It limits what I'm going to create, but it doesn't reduce what is available for me to create or available for you to create. So scarcity is a myth. And the struggle with it is when I live with the idea that there's not enough to go around, there's not enough for everybody to have a lot, then fear rules my thinking. Fear rules my interaction. Fear rules my relationships. I got to get mine because there's not enough. Fear rules all that we do when we believe that there's just not enough. And that is just not true. I can promise this because I've experienced both sides. When you switch your thinking away from not enough, two things happen. One, you begin to see a path to create whatever you want. And the second thing is life is way more fun It's light. It's easy. It's joyful. It feels just like that sky on fire behind me. Now, that leads me to the next word, which is abundance. Abundance is another overused cliche word. All of these are, except maybe sacred exchange. Abundance is the idea that you can have all you want, and so can everybody else. Now, there's some real objection to that, because people get value in their own hearts when they think they're above somebody. C.S. Lewis, a philosopher, said this. He said, happiness is not in having a thing, but in having more of it than the next person. So I'm only happy if I have more of something than you do, or you're only happy if you have a newer car or a bigger house. And that is so sad and so limiting, because there's always going to be someone that has more than I do or more than you do. And then we're going to be worried again, we're taught what I think others think. Abundance is the idea that there is enough and to spare, that the earth is full of opportunity, possibility, creation, wealth. Our ability to generate wealth is infinite. Now, that may sound sort of woo-woo when I'm sitting here saying, oh, you can just think about it and gold bars show up on the door. No, they don't. Every person that I know that has built wealth, and I don't know all of them, but I know many that have built real wealth, tens or hundreds of millions. I know some of those people. I know what they did to get there. And there's no accidents. Nobody falls up a mountain. They created it by their actions and activities. I also know someone who, you know, was doing that kind of work, good, positive work, created a lot of wealth, and then lost it all, got smacked down to zero and had to start over again. And you know what? Could have said, scarcity, there's not enough, I'm dead, it won't happen, unfair, rotten, and then lived as a complainer and a victim. But instead, what he did is, okay, I'm going to start over. I knew how to do this. I'm going to do it again. And he did. And now, at this juncture, he has twice as much as he had before. And it's nine figures, not 10 yet, but, you know, extraordinary amount of wealth. And it came because he knew there is abundance. I don't have to hurt or cheat or get over or overcome or bash anybody to get there. I just have to provide real value and put in the work required. Now, one of the diseases, there's two diseases that are really rampant these days, and one is the easy button, and one is what I call, well, this is part of the easy button. We'll do the second one in a minute. The easy button is, we live in a download and double click world, right? We believe somehow that everything should be solvable in the length of a TV sitcom. And so when we think about abundance and scarcity, we think, well, if it's not easy, then something's wrong. If I can't do this easily, then I don't want it. And we've become allergic to the hard work. We've become allergic. Hard work has become repugnant. We don't want to do that. There's got to be a hack, an easier way to get there. Well, there's not. Some people are going to do differently than others, and maybe a little faster and slower. But anyone that I know, and I know several who have made extraordinary fortunes, and every one of them have put in the work, they come from a place of abundance, they operate with ethics and integrity, and they create wealth in that construct. I'm not pretending away guys that do it otherwise or gals that do it otherwise, but I am saying, if you want purpose, prosperity, and joy, if you want your ultimate life, then knowing that there is abundance and strapping in for the ride and getting ready for the work, that is the path to get there. That's one of the reasons I enjoy coaching so much, because I love people who come, that's why I invited you in the beginning to connect, who describe the feelings they have of how difficult it is. I don't know how to do this, and this isn't fair, and I'll never make that, and I tried this and that. And the work of getting out of that mindset of being defeated, of can't to what if, that'll never happen, to wait a minute, what about, and sort of moving in the direction of possibility. Oh, power and possibility. Now, of course, you're free to not use it, not pay attention to it. But in my switch, as I've changed from how I was to now, starting in 2000, end of seven, to now, it's been a light and joyous journey. Hard work, but a light and joyous journey. All right, now, word number eight is the word intuition. Now, this is funny because intuition, you know, people have said women's intuition is something that I heard a lot growing up. Intuition is simply the act of your spirit connecting with a higher source. Really simple. It is the act of receiving guidance from your higher self or the divine or the universe or whatever you want to call it. That's all it is. Intuition. It is a feeling, a sudden stroke of an idea or a thought. Oh, I should do this or I should try that. Now, here's what happens. We ignore it because often intuition will push us to a limit. It will push us out of a comfort zone. It will push us past something we want to be doing. Ooh, I don't want to try that. Why? I might fail. Now, failure was one of the words I could have put on this list, and I didn't. Maybe another month, a different time, I'll do an episode on other words. But failure isn't here. Your intuition is going to push you because you and I, we were built to grow and to produce and to develop. We're built to live this ultimate life. We're built to have a purpose, to create prosperity and to live in joy. We are made to have a joyful life. But we're not going to get it handed to us. Intuition is course correction. It is the divine whispering saying, you're off course, try this. When we sit and we wish, I wish I knew how to X, and intuition comes, ignore it at your peril, because those ideas are how you get guidance. It's how I get guidance. Those ideas. Now, here's a couple things that I've learned about intuition. You can cultivate it. You can cultivate your ability to hear and receive ideas, guidance, if you will. That's a skill you can learn. It's not magic. It is not random. It is not, you know, the divine sitting around, well, I think I'll just watch you suffer today. It isn't like that. You can cultivate the ability to hear it, recognize it, and if you make a habit of acting, you can cultivate a habit of action without delay. Again, one of the statements that I have in my document to remind me who I am every day is I listen for thoughts and feelings that come during prayer or meditation that I do in the morning and throughout the day. So I do that on purpose. And the statement after that is I am that I act without fear or delay on answers, revelation, ideas, intuition that I receive. Well, I've made that commitment to myself and it's borne massive fruit. So I'm sharing that with you to encourage you to cultivate your intuition. Word number nine is the word prosperity. Now, prosperity, we usually think of big cash, prosperous venture. Well, prosperity goes way deeper than that, and you know that. Prosperity of health, prosperity of relationships, prosperity of self-love, prosperity, and it means having an abundance of. Now, of course, that includes cash. It includes money. And we've talked about just a couple of episodes ago, I talked about your ability to turn your life story into cash. I outlined a very specific process about how to do that. That's one thing I love because every person who's breathing air has a story. And the story is your developmental journey through life. Your developmental journey has shaped you and molded you, and there are powerful lessons and learnings that you can get out of that developmental journey. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can get them. And if you choose to structure them and offer them as a product, you can make money with your life story. And I have never met a person for whom that is not true. I've met lots of people that don't want to go through the effort. Right? Nobody would listen. I don't care. I don't know how. And, you know, all the garbage. But you can. You can. And so creating a life of prosperity is just that. Creating a life of prosperity. Now, you can define prosperity any way you want, and I would encourage you to. Money's obviously going to be on the list. Where do you have prosperity? Where do you not? What would you like to do about that? Because you can start today and move in that direction. Again, that's one of the things I love about my work as a coach, to have people come who cannot see a way forward, and then to work with them until it's like, wow, I can do this and I can do that, and then break through those ideas and limitations and get to success. The last word I want to talk about today is something called serendipity. A serendipity is a fun word. It's a joyful, playful word. And it means being in the right place at the right time. It means good luck. It means having things show up just right. Now, I have a client who I really love, and he just talks about his serendipity. And he had just, these things happen to him all the time. Well, I know why. Because he's always putting himself in possibility situations. He says to me, well, I chase the maybes. I chase the maybes. And the second thing I know about him is that he works his tail off. So if you work your tail off and you keep chasing maybes, you're going to have fabulous luck because you will be in the right places. You will meet the right people. Opportunities will fall all over you because fortune favors the bold. Fortune favors those who take action and move forward. And so if you want to create good luck, you can. Luck is not an accident. It is created. It's created by our attitudes. It's created by what we believe is possible. And most of all, by action. Luck is created by a willingness to take risks and action. Serendipity. I love the word because it's a fun word to say, and I love just saying it. So there's the 10 words: authenticity, integrity, transparency, duplicity, sacred exchange, scarcity, abundance, intuition, prosperity, and serendipity. I want you to think about your own life. Where are those words operative for you? And where are they just some noise? They are each powerful words. They each play a role in creating your ultimate life, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. I want to end with this. You, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, you're a divine being. You came from the same place we all did. You came with gifts and talents. You came with limitless capability. So you're of divine origin. And because you are, you have capability. There is infinite energy available to create. What most of us lack is structure and discipline. We lack directions. But those are available. And you can live behind the idea of, I don't know how, all you want, but that just guarantees you'll stay where you are today. My invitation for you today is to think about how fabulous you are, to think about how powerful you are. You know, there's a saying, and I don't remember who said it first. The quote that I remember is attributed to Marianne Williamson, where she said, it is not our limitations or our darkness that frightens us. It is our light and our capability. And I'm paraphrasing it incorrectly. But what the gist of it is, it's really not our weakness that we're afraid of. It's not our capacity to fail that bothers us. It is the power and light that we possess. And sometimes we shy away from the intense beauty and wonder that is in your heart and your soul. It's there. I reiterate my invitation to have a conversation with you. I love meeting people. I didn't used to. But my life has changed so much that I just love looking into the eyes of people and seeing their hearts and seeing the beautiful souls that everyone is, including you. What I know about you is that you're valuable, you're capable, and that your possibilities are endless. I invite you to take these words that I've talked about or other words that are important to you, but do something with it. You can make, yeah, that sounds good, yeah, whatever. and nothing will change. Day after day, week after week, month after month, and then for New Year's, you'll give yourself nothing. You'll have last year repeated over and over again. Why would you do that? Time marches on. Your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy is available to you right now. It doesn't come with the snap of a finger or the wave of a wand. It comes one step at a time, like plants grow, like seasons change. Those things happen over time, one step, one gradual movement at a time. But if you start and keep moving, you will get there. I reiterate my invitation to talk, and I reiterate my love and encouragement for the genius and brilliance that is you. You deserve it. You can have it. And I encourage you to go now. Take your brilliance, your capability, and your possibility, and create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.